Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
All right. Have a seat. Have a seat and welcome to Three Creeks Church. My name is Joel. And I get to be the pastor at this church. And man, I am without words to express my gratitude that you would choose to come and celebrate Easter with us. Man, you could be anywhere, and you've chosen to be here. And so for that, I am very, very, very grateful. The plan for this morning is I'm going to share a message from the Bible. We're actually going to bring the band up here, and we're going to sing some more songs of worship to Jesus. And then after that, we're going to dunk some people. People are choosing to get baptized today, and so I can't wait to celebrate that with you guys, man. It's going to be great. Yes. Easter Sunday, it's crazy to think about this. Billions of people are gathered today. Large groups of people are gathered in large auditoriums. Small groups of people are huddling in basements. In every nation on the earth, billions of people today, Easter Sunday, are gathered together to celebrate and to remember the fact that Jesus of Nazareth's body did not decay in that tomb outside of Jerusalem, but God raised him from the dead. And then 500 people saw him. 500 eyewitnesses saw the resurrected Jesus after they had seen him die on the cross for us. Man, the message of Easter is that because Jesus lives, we can too. Because Jesus lives, we can too. About 2 months ago or so, I got invited to go to this, it was called Unite. It was a worship night down in the Shop, down on Ohio State's campus. And man, I had kind of heard about this, and I had heard that there was a band that I liked that was going to lead in worship. I had heard the names of some of the speakers that would be there. I was interested in going. And then a friend named Chris, who goes to this church, he said, "Hey, why don't you come with me? I've got an extra ticket." And I said, "You know, that actually sounds great. I usually at a worship service or whatever, most of the worship services that I attend, I'm responsible for something. Man, it would be so great if I could just go and just be there. I get to spend some time with Chris. This is a win-win." So I drive over to Chris's house. He hops in my car. We're going down. And I kind of discover on the way down towards Ohio State's campus that Chris doesn't have tickets in the nosebleeds. Like, Chris has some VIP tickets. And so we kind of pull up towards the Shot, and he says his name to the police officers, like, "Wave these guys through." And so we park in the closest parking lot that is possible to park there next to that arena. And we kind of go up to this security booth, and he just says his name, you know, and they're like, "Wave him through, give him their badges." And so I find myself walking through the hallways, like underneath the Shot with my VIP badge, thinking like, man, this is pretty cool. I mean, what are we getting into here? We end up in this room, kind of like underneath the stage, kind of underneath where all the seats are. And there's maybe, I don't know, 70 or 80 people in there. And I realized that all the people in there, they're like ministry leaders from Columbus. There's a couple other pastors that are in there. And the speakers for the event are in there. Some of the band members are in there. All of their families are in there. And it hits me, it strikes me, all of these people are all the folks that have put on this event. It's like them and all of their families. So there's people taking pictures. There's people praying together. And I realized, man, I'm a part of this group. I didn't expect to get into this group tonight, but here we are, and they had free nachos, so I'm like flying high, man. This is good. So I start saying hi to a couple of the people that I know in the room. Finally, we make our way out into the arena. We walk out, and there's kind of a whole section designated for the VIP people, and so I'm strutting in there, you know, like grabbing my seat, like waving up at the regular folk in the nosebleeds. And in fact, when I sat down, I heard someone say, "Hey, Joel." And I turned around, and it was a girl named Lavender, who she was actually singing right here just a few minutes ago. She's in the band here at Three Creeks, and she watches our kids. She's like a great friend of our family. And she said, "Hey, Joel." And I waved up at her up at the peasant section. I said, "Yeah." squinting. No, I'm just kidding. And so, man, I was ready. I was geared up. I was excited. I was excited to sing. And, man, 10,000 people were there. And I was really moved. I was really, it was a powerful night of worship. So finally, the third speaker gets up. And he was the one that I was the most excited to listen to. And right at the beginning of his message, he said, hey, let me just kind of see where everybody's at. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being 0% confident, 10 being you're 100% confident, how sure are you that you are all in with Jesus and that you're going to heaven? And I was like, all right, that's a good question. It'd be interesting to see how this goes. And so he says, if you were a 4, a 5, or a 6 on the confidence scale, would you raise your hand? A couple thousand people raised their hands, 4, 5, or 6. He says, if you're a 1, 2, or a 3, raise your hand. And I'll bet you 1,000 people raised their hands. No confidence in that. And then he said, if you're a 7, an 8, or a 9, raise your hand. And in the moment, I was like, man, like, oh, man, theologically, I'm a 10, but I just kind of feel like a 9 right now. I'm just going to jump into this. I'm going to see where this goes. So I raised my hand like, I'm a 9. You know, like, theologically, I believe that Jesus has forgiven my sins. Like, I'm in. But, man, my experience, it had been a rough couple of weeks leading up to that. Am I 100% sure that I'm all in with Jesus? Ah, I want to be. He even said, I resigned in my mind to say, like, I'm confident, but, man, I could be more confident. So I'm a 9. I'm a 9. I raised my hand. He preaches through his message. It was powerful. It moved me. I was totally dialed in. And then he circles back to that at the end. He goes, okay, let me try this again. Raise your hand again if you were a 4, 5, or 6 earlier. They all raised their hands again. 1, 2, and 3, they all raised their hands again. 7, 8, or 9, I'm like, man, I can't change now. Like, I'm a 9, so we're going for this thing. And he says, man, there really isn't any difference between a 1 and a 9. Jesus has either forgiven all of your sins or he hasn't forgiven any of your sins. And I was like, man, feels like there's a difference between a 1 and a 9, you know? But he's not wrong, you know? So he says, hey, if you were a 1 through a 9, raise your hand. I'm like, man, I said 9. You know, I'm not lying now. I said 9. And he said, now I want you to be bold and I want you to stand up if you want to be a 10. I'm like, I want to be a 10. So I stood up and it was right in that moment that I realized I was the only person in the VIP section that was about to pray to receive Christ. Like right there. In that arena, Lavender's up behind me like, is my pastor about to accept Jesus, like, right now? We pray this prayer, and I'm trying to avoid eye contact with everybody around me. Chris is looking at me like, what's this guy doing? And then he says, I want you guys to come down to the front. I was like, not doing it. I sat down. I just sat down. I texted my wife. I said, you're not going to believe this. I just got saved. we get in the car on the way home. And by the way, I'm not trying to take away from anybody else's real authentic experience that they had that night. It really was powerful. And I know for sure that there were some folks that prayed that for the first time. No question. But I got in the car with Chris and I was like, we hadn't really talked about it yet. And I was like, hey, so what was it like watching your pastor get saved back there, man? And we laughed, and he said, you know, that was a little confusing, wasn't it? And I said, yeah, you know, it kind of was a little confusing. And I thought back to, like, how many times that I've had the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, and I guarantee you, every single time, somebody walks away going, man, that was confusing. And churches and pastors, most of the time with good intentions, have made this simple gospel of Jesus, this good news of Jesus, a little bit too confusing, a little bit too complicated. And I talk to people all the time, people even that have been following Jesus for a while, and they'll say things, and I'll just be like, where did you get that? Like, who told you that? Because that's not exactly what the Bible says. And so, man, I share that story just to kind of preface what I'm about to share now to say, listen, man, like, I am going to do my best today to present the good news of Jesus to you in very simple, clear terms. This is as clear as I know how to share it. And I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm just going to lay out what the Bible says God has done for you And I'm going to give every single person in the room the opportunity to respond to that. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, there's an invitation to respond to what God has done for you. So I'm just going to lay it out. And to some of you, as I lay this out, this will be breaking news. You will say, I've never actually heard that before. To some of you, you will say, that sounds like fake news. And you will be skeptical and you will say, I don't believe that. And that's okay. I'm glad that you're here. And to some of us, maybe most of us, this will sound like old news. I've heard it 1,000 times. And my prayer coming into this has been that you would receive this, that we would all walk out of here today going, man, that is good news. That is good news for me. That is good news for me. When I was 19 years old, I was a freshman in college, and word got out on campus that there was a Christian camp that had arrived on campus, and they were going to try to recruit us to be counselors at their camp. And at 7 o'clock, there was going to be free pizza. And I thought, they know how to get me. They know. I'm in. So I went, and I got the free pizza, and I watched this video of what it would be like to be on staff at this camp in the summer. And they came up afterwards, and they said, hey, you know, if you do this, this is going to be the best summer of your life. You can be a counselor. You can be on the media team. There's all these different roles. We want you on the team. And they said, we're actually going to go to another campus tomorrow at noon. We're leaving. Like, we're just doing this tour, recruiting at all these colleges. And so if you have any interest at all, you need to sign up for an interview right now. We're going to interview people tonight, and we're going to interview people tomorrow morning. And this is your chance. This is like pre-Zoom days. So this is your chance. And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to do it for sure, but I'm going to put this in my back pocket. I'm going to interview. We'll see how it goes. So I signed up for an interview that night at 9:30 p.m. So I've got 2 hours between 7:30, the end of the meeting, and 9:30, my interview with this camp. And right before we left the first meeting, the person steps up and says at the very end, he says, oh, and hey, by the way, we're going to ask every single person in their interview, we're going to say, we're going to ask you to share the gospel with us. Share the good news of Jesus with us. Present the gospel. I was like, oh, okay, I've never done that in an interview before. So I'm walking back to my dorm room, and I'm just being honest with you. Like, I just didn't really know where to start. Like, I didn't know which one to use, and I didn't want to mess it up. And so as a 19-year-old kid, I remember walking back to my dorm, and I called my dad. I said, Dad, in an hour and a half, I've got to go present the gospel in this interview. What should I do? Like, where do I start? And I'm sure that he was very disappointed, because I'm sure he had shared this with me so many times. But with grace and kindness, he said, Joel, why don't you just present them with the Romans Road? And I thought, oh yeah, the Romans Road. Got it, Dad. And I hung up. And then I went to my dorm room and got on my computer and I asked Jeeves, what is the Romans Road? And the Romans Road is 4 verses in the book of Romans that lays out the good news of Jesus. And I memorized those verses that night for my interview. So I can't say I didn't learn anything in college. I learned at least that. And I went there and I presented the gospel with the Romans Road. And I have never been able to forget these 4 verses. And so today what I want to roll out for you are these 4 verses. And I share that that story with you because I'm not going to make any assumptions about how much you know. Because at age 19, man, I had grown up as a missionary kid. I had been involved in multiple youth groups through high school. I'd gone to summer camp. I was at a Christian college, for goodness sakes. And they said, hey, we need you to share the gospel with us. And I was just taken back, like, holy, man, I got to recalibrate here. I'm not really sure where to start. So I'm not making any assumptions about any of you. And I'm just going to roll this out as the Romans Road, like I memorized it as a 19-year-old kid. So here we go. Paul, who was a first century Christian missionary, wrote the book of Romans. And it wasn't a book when he wrote it, it was a letter. And it was a letter written to a group of Christians that were living in Rome. And believe it or not, there were some divisions in the church there. And they were confused about what exactly it looked like to follow Jesus. And so Paul wrote them the letter, the book of Romans, to say, this is what it looks like. This is what God did for you. And in the book of Romans, we have four verses that we pull out that summarize Paul's message about Jesus. Here's the first one. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, everybody has made a mistake. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has done something or said something or thought something that dishonored God. I was driving with my kids the other day in the van, and I said, hey, do you guys think every single person has made a mistake? And they all said, yes, Dad. And I said, really, everybody? And Cooper said, every single buddy. And I think she was talking about her friends. But we were on the same page, man. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has made mistakes. And the Bible says a lot that we were each born with what's called a sinful nature, a natural tendency to want to do things our way. When you were a kid, nobody taught you how to steal. Nobody taught you how to lie. Nobody taught you how to cheat. And you did it anyways. And here we are as adults doing some of those things. But also, man, nobody taught us how to be greedy. Nobody taught us how to be selfish. Nobody taught us how to be prideful. And here we are. Here we are. And I know that it probably would have been your preference to go to a church where the pastor on Easter Sunday would stand up here and tell you how awesome you were. But if I did that, would you believe me? Would you believe me? Man, I think we can all agree. We know ourselves too well to agree with what Paul writes when he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here's the second one, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All have sinned. And the wages of sin, or the penalty of sin, the punishment of sin is death. Physical death and spiritual death. If this is where the news ends, it's not good news for anybody. Because God is just and he cannot overlook sin. He cannot act like it didn't happen. And the price for sin is death. So if there's anybody out there who would raise their hand and say, yes, I have made some mistakes. Yes, I have done things my way. I've done things that have dishonored God. Well, man, without someone to pay that price for us, we're in trouble. But look what it says. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so you see that sin leads to death, but God gives us this gift, eternal life. How does he do that? How does he provide a way out from underneath our sin? He says in Romans 5:8, here's the third one, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what this means is that God looked down and loved us so much that he didn't just let us be crushed underneath the weight of our sin and make us pay the price. What he did was he sent Jesus, and Jesus willingly, voluntarily went to the cross and paid the full price for us. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus said, I will take it for him. I will be in their place. Put it on me. And so Jesus Christ goes and dies on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And notice when he does it. Notice when Christ died for us. He died for us while we were still sinners. It doesn't say once we finally got our act together. Once I started going to church again. After I figured out how to break the addiction. It's while we were still sinners. While we're a mess. While we are making mistakes. And I talk to people all the time who the reason that they can't go in and receive God's love for them is because they feel like they don't deserve it. They'll say things like, man, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've got a lot of regrets in my life. I don't deserve that. And this verse is just diametrically opposed to that idea because it says, while we were a mess, while we were sinners, that is when God intervened and loved us so much, and Christ died for us. And then Paul rounds it out with the fourth one. He lays it out clearly for them, and I'm trying to do the same for you. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Let me just read it again. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord,
and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's keep it simple. Have you declared that with your mouth? Have you said, Jesus is Lord? Is he the leader of your life? Is he calling the shots? Or as the great theologian Carrie Underwood asks, has Jesus taken the wheel? Is he in charge? Is he the leader of your life? Do you follow him? Have you surrendered to Jesus? Is he Lord? Have you confessed that with your mouth? And then the second one is, do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Do you believe that he resurrected? Do you believe that Jesus died and God raised him from the dead? If the resurrection never happened, well, nothing else matters. This is the linchpin that holds Christianity. But if the resurrection did happen, then nothing else matters. He really is God, and he really did die for us, and he really did come back from the dead, and he really is worth putting your faith in. And what this is saying is that heaven is waiting for those who follow Jesus and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I just have to ask you, have you done that? Where are you at with this? And I'm not asking the person next to you. I'm asking you. Where are you at with this? Have you declared that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead? I want to be clear. I'm not asking you if you would consider joining our church. I'm not asking for you to consider different denominations. I'm not asking you to consider other Christians, because you and I both know there's some wacky Christians out there. I'm not asking you to consider me, because I know for sure that I will let you down. I'm asking if you will consider Jesus and you will consider his resurrection, if you will consider putting your faith in him. About 10 years ago, right after Morgan and I had just been married for 2 years at the time, we had the incredible opportunity to travel to Israel. And we went to this place called the Garden Tomb. And it's just a couple acre garden right outside of the Damascus Gate of Jerusalem. And it's the possible site of the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And it was amazing, man. It was really impactful. I'll never forget it. I was looking through my pictures to try to find a picture of me and Morgan there. This is the only picture I could find. There's Morgan in the empty tomb. It was amazing. And you know, all through this garden, there are these different pavilions, different sizes. Maybe there's a pavilion for 20, a pavilion for 50, a larger pavilion maybe for 100 people. Our group was about 35 or 40 people, and you could reserve these pavilions for like a half an hour at a time or something like that. And our group, we had our reservation under one of these pavilions, and we made our way there, and there's 35 or 40 of us, all different walks of life. None of us really knew each other before we got there. We were all meeting and a part of this trip together. And I remember sitting there, No sound system, no lights, no band, just us. And the leader of our group comes up and says, hey, man, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Like, I believe that the tomb was really empty. And can I just throw the question out to the group? Is there anybody else who believes that Jesus rose from the dead? And if you do believe that, would you just stand up? And would you try to express to this group when that happened for you? Like, when did Jesus become alive for you? When did you believe? And I remember sitting there, I was 26 or 27 years old, and I was surrounded by people from all different walks of life. And I remember there was an old man that stood up, and he said, I was 7 years old. I was in Sunday school, and it was a long time ago, but I still remember, like, my Sunday school teacher laid this plan out for me, and that was the day that I believed, and I believe. And an older lady would stand up and say, I was in college. I'd spent the first 21 years of my life running in the opposite direction of God. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. these friends from college invited me to go to this event, and I just wanted to be with my friends, and so I said, sure, and I went, and I was presented with this good news of Jesus, and I just couldn't deny it. It just became so real to me, and that was the day that I believed. I can remember, you know, middle-aged moms and dads. A dad stood up and said, man, I haven't been a believer for very long. It's only been about 2 years. My neighbor invited me to church, and just to make him happy, I said, sure, why not? And I kind of reluctantly went to church, but when I went to this church, they presented this good news of Jesus, and I was just moved. Like, I knew it was true, and I said, man, I believe. Today's the day that I believe. And I remember my cousin recalling, just saying, man, my mom and dad raised me to know and love Jesus, and I was just a little girl when I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I just remember sitting there, man, I was just overwhelmed by this, by all of these people standing up and saying, this is when I believed. And some of them had been Christians for a long time, and some of them had just become Christians, and I was overwhelmed with gratitude, because all of these people with all different family backgrounds and all from different places and all different ages and all different incomes standing up one at a time saying, this is when God became alive to me. This is when I believed. And I stood up. I said I was 5 years old. And it was Easter Sunday, actually, for me. And I didn't know a whole lot about Jesus yet. I didn't know a whole lot about life. But man, I knew that I needed somebody to forgive me for my sins. I got it. And I remember sitting on my bed with my mom, and she just walked me through this prayer. I was 5 years old. That's when I believed. And man, believe it or not, since I was five, I've sinned a few times. And through high school, I'm not excited to admit this, but I rebelled a little bit. I got my tips bleached, got my cartilage pierced. It's pretty crazy. No, I was addicted to pornography for a decade. I hung out with the wrong crowd for a while in college. I got involved in the party scene. I mean, I was just bent to want to do things my way. And I can remember, man, between age 5 and 22, every couple months I would end up at some kind of Christian event. I'd go to camp, or I'd go to a worship night, or I'd be at a church service just like this on Easter Sunday, and somebody would present what God had done for me. They would present this goodness, this grace that God extends to me, that while I was still a sinner, that Christ died for me. And a lot of times when this news gets presented, somebody will come up at the end and they'll make an invitation. They'll say, do you want to put your faith in Jesus? And I remember thinking, well, I've already done that. And then a lot of times the person would say, if you've already done that before, is there anybody here that would like to rededicate their life to Jesus? And I can remember at least, man, I'll call it 25 times from between age 5 and age 22 where I just said, you know what? Yes. Like, I do want to rededicate my life to Jesus. And I'm not exactly sure how that fits into the Bible, but experientially for me, what that meant was that, man, I had lived some life and I had made some mistakes and I had learned more about God, and I was raising my hand and I was saying, man, I'm still in. Like, I'm still a follower of Jesus, and I'm still sorry for the things that I've done, and I need you to forgive me, and I need a Savior, and I believe that you're Him, and I would rededicate my life to Jesus. And like I said, this probably happened 25 times before I graduated from college. And then, I'm just being honest with you, about 2 months ago, in the shot, I did it again. I rededicated my life to Jesus that night. And I know that the story was kind of funny and a little bit confusing, but honestly, I laid in bed that night and I thought to myself, man, I am so grateful that God would come down and be willing to forgive all of my sins. Man, I've lived a lot of life since I was 22, and I've learned a lot about Jesus since I was 22, and I've made a lot of mistakes since I was 22. And there I was as a 38-year-old guy just sitting in the VIP section of the shot, raising my hand saying, I want to be a 10. Like, I do. I believe. I still believe. I'm a sinner. I'm a great sinner, and I need a great Savior. And I know, I believe His name is Jesus. And I declare it again that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And I'm proud to tell you, I'm proud to tell you that I'm still in. I'm still in. Let me just make two invitations here as I close. I told you these were coming. Here they are. If you have never made this decision to put your faith in Jesus, to say that Jesus is Lord, to believe in His resurrection, is today the day for you? Is Easter 2025 the day that many years from now, somebody will say, hey, when did you put your faith in Jesus? You will remember this day. Easter 2025 is the day that you said, I'm in. And let me just be clear. This is for sinners only. If you've got it all together, this isn't really for you. This is for people that know that they need a Savior. The Bible says that God is preparing a place in heaven for those that follow Jesus. Do you want Him to prepare a place for you? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And here's the second one. If you have made that decision before, but you have lived some life since then, and you have made some mistakes since then, and you have learned more about God since then, do you still believe? Do you still believe? Do you want to redeclare today that Jesus is the Lord of your life? And do you want to say, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? There's the invitation. There's the good news. Will you respond to it? Let's close like this. Would you guys just stand where you're at? I'm going to close with a prayer for salvation. And this is the same prayer that my mom prayed with me when I was 5 years old. And it's a prayer to commit or recommit your life to Jesus. And I'm going to pray it one line at a time. And I'll give you a chance to echo it back to me. You can say it out loud. You can say it under your breath. You can say it in your heart. It counts all three ways. This is a prayer for salvation. It's a prayer of commitment. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? And if you're in, if you believe, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I have sinned. I need someone to save me from my sins. I believe in you, Jesus, that you died for me, that you rose again, that because you live, I can too. I give you all of my life for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together and praise God for His goodness? That while we were still sinners, God demonstrated His love for us, and that He sent Jesus to die and rise again. He rose up. Do you believe that in your heart? If you do, I invite you to sing these songs of worship with the band.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.